So now I can tell you a little bit about, do you want to discuss this a little bit? Then I'll talk about that book. Do you want to do a little Q&A on what I've said so far? The non-translatability of certain Sanskrit words is one topic I've mentioned. And the second is that the distortion of Sanskrit in the Western Academy. So we can talk about that. Maybe I'll take your questions and then I'll talk about my new book.
Mostly I have come across, especially when I speak in the Indian context, and especially in the elite institutions like IITs. I mean, I'm talking about academicians. They, you know, adore translators like Dev Patnaik. You know, they read the Ramayana. They say that is the...
Because very, it's shown in all the airport shops.
So, I mean, when I tell them, no, I mean, that's not the way it is being interpreted. This, you know, Dev Patnaik has said this, so I mean, all of our religion is like this.
So, you know, this is a problem, this is a very serious problem because some big industrialists are backing these things, you know, and it's a shame. So, it's for the public to speak out and point out. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can do our part of it.
Right. I mean, India is a lived experience for us, right? So, we all grew up there, we know the Vivekam to understand what is right and what is wrong. And some kind of an intuition tells us, no, that's a wrong interpretation. But here, sitting in the US, we are raising this next generation. So why not have one authentic translation of our sastras as much as possible and say, this is what the ultimate truth or the core text are.
No, I'm saying...
And all the people who are doing their work come and refer to this. And
so I would disagree that in India it is pure. I go to India all the time. India is also highly sold out. The universities are sold out. It's not just JNU, it's Ashoka University, Kriya University, Azim Premji, TIS. All the people in the humanities and social sciences are ultra left in India. So we shouldn't think that India is like it used to be once upon a time. India is highly westernized. You look at Bollywood, you look at social media, you look at all, anywhere you go, there's hardly any, people don't think that being authentic is that important. So, I think India itself has become diluted.
And hey, I'd like to say that it is a high time, it is a time to Indianize Indians.
Yes.
Nine Indians. Yes. As far as American embassy, Indian embassy in Washington, D.C., it is so Christianized. Yes. It is very strong word. It is so Christianized. I don't know how many of you know the staff inside there. 80% of them are there Christians.
Yes.
Point blank. When you go to Indian embassy inside, there used to be Teresa's photo. I never call her mother. Teresa photo there. So Indian embassy needs to be
Indianized.
And what Sriraji said, that Indians, all the so-called elite, I don't call elite institution, they are all filled by leftist people.
And you know, it is worse, HR departments Indian in the department. Corporate world,
yeah.
Indian corporates, the HR departments are Christians and Muslims.
But one is a half mentality. Like, you know, in India, you must have heard about an institute called XLRI.
Mm-hmm.
XLRI is a Catholic college. Okay? In all the so-called top companies, you have to have somebody from XLRI into the HR.
Yeah.
HR. And now, this is... And rest of the story, I used to play cricket on the ground of XLRI. When I became a John Mason and I was invited there to give a talk, I kept mayor Mudam Subrakha. When I went there, then he saw in the Gadera, usko log father bolte hain, Gadera humko dega, ye kahan se aa gaya? And I was to give them 2 crore rupees. I stopped that. And then I told him, this is what no Yesup karte. So thank you very much.
So why not have an authentic translation or authentic text which even foreigners can refer to as the and the source of truth for?
Yeah. You should pay.
No, there are plenty of projects to do. We don't have resources, but there are plenty of projects to do. Yeah. So anyway, now since time is short, maybe I'll start this. So this is a new book. This is a book which basically is, you know, we have in our terms, in our discussion, in our texts, we have Siddhant. which is the logic by which you argue your point of view, the theory by which you reason. So you could have a siddhant in any field. You could have a siddhant in medicine, in where the doctor says, okay, my siddhant to diagnose is like this. I will look for this and that. If it is this, then it's that. Here is my reasoning. Reasoning for a certain conclusion, that's the siddhant. There is siddhant in philosophy when they're talking about philosophical things. So there's siddhant in all kinds of stuff. So you also have siddhant about society. Now we have varna jati siddhant. So the dharma shastra give you a sort of a siddhant on how to think about society, social structures. Now what has happened is that the social sciences, what are called liberal arts or social sciences, have become highly hijacked by Western leftist organizations. And this has been a project that has been going on for a long time. And so, if you look at non-translatables, varna jati is a non-translatable. You cannot translate as caste. Okay? It's a very important thing. You cannot translate as caste. The moment you do, you lost control. Then it's a shouting match, who will shout more. But if you want to regain control in that debate, you should say, I do not know about the caste system. That's some modern Nehruvian invention, and British started it, Lord Risley started it. If you want to talk about tradition, I'm going to talk about varna jati. And you're welcome to debate me. Then you take control of the discussion. The discussion happens on our terms because we're using the terminology. And you can say, this caste is a new term. It's a European term. And let's use our term. There's no reason why we shouldn't use our term. They'll not know how to argue because their whole argument will fall apart. Their argument is based on avoiding our terminology and introducing new terminology which gives them new meaning. So, this book looks at the latest leftist thought, which is all in all these universities, it's in Harvard type places, and how it is being projected onto Indian society, Indian social structure, to create a new siddhant. A new wokeism is a siddhant. It's a Marxist siddhant. That's what wokeism is. So, creating a new kind of Marxist siddhant to interpret and explain our society, and then we are on the defensive, we are supposed to argue using their siddhant. Why do we want to argue using their siddhant? You know what I'm saying? So, this is a battlefield which is very serious because billionaires are funding it. It's fashionable. Why are they funding it? Because fashionable. Fashionable because I'm on a board with Bill Gates. I'll go there to private jet and all that stuff. It's a kind of a Shan Shokat, highest level of prestige. You join the elite club, you know, the global club. After making all your billions in India, now the next level is to become a global kind of a person. So they've been funding this. So I will tell you, you don't have to be scared of the size of this book. For the following reason, you don't have to read more than 100 pages. The rest is backup. When you argue, you can have backup, like a manual, like a reference manual. You read the introduction, which is 50 pages. Every chapter, there are 22 chapters, has a one-page overview. That overview is very well written, it's very complete, it tells you what are the main conclusions, what is the main message, what are the points, point, point, point. If you read that overview slowly, a couple of times, understand it, then you go to the next chapter, read the overview, next chapter, read the overview, and then you read the conclusion. So, in about 100, 120 pages, you will have finished this whole book. And believe me, it will really make you think. And it will really concern you also, but it will also empower you to talk back. Now, the rest of the material is there as evidence. Like, you know, you do a legal case, and you have opening arguments and closing arguments, but then you have a lot of witnesses and evidence and testimony and forensic reports and all that. So you need that. You need that for credibility because people will not take you at face value. So we need all this evidence for credibility. It is there. In case you get into an argument with somebody, you can look it up. But for your own knowledge, you can read 100 pages. And that everybody should read because you will know what is the siddhant being used against us? This siddhant called wokeism. Okay. And how to shoot holes in it, how to respond, how to argue back. So that is what this book is.
Sir, with respect male version same content or different?
So the thing is, as you said, like leftists, what I'm trying to understand in the perspective of the not only the America or India, only thing politicization or elite club, maybe because of votes or politicization, I'm thinking. But what do you think about the rightist side of India? Are they at least understand this is the fight going on in the world? What
so my job, yeah. My job is to educate them, because they understand emotionally, but they are not deep scholars. Unfortunately, we do not have think tanks where they are deep scholars. Each one of these takes multiple years to write. So we do not have people writing that. So they are reading all this and learning, which is what I want.
My daughter is a ninth grader here in the Loudoun County. And 2 days back, I had a conversation with her where she was telling me that they are having this history and social science lesson where they're talking about different cultures. And now it is time for the Indian system, right? So they were explaining the caste system. The Varna Dharma that we have is what they're naming as caste. And Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and Dalit. I don't know where this came from, but that's how they are.
So you see, no, I understand. I understand, but let's move on to solutions. So chapter 6 of this book is called the History of Indian Social Organization. And this is a 100-page chapter.
This
100-page chapter is a must read.
Yes.
You should read every Indian. So basically, I'll tell you, this tells you the 7 historical phases which are documented in Indian history regarding our social structure. Okay. Final, thanks to the British and Nehruvian, became the caste last. So first is the Vedic era, the Upanishadic era. Okay, the era of I have a diagram here. Okay, so I will show you this diagram. You guys should all of you should know this thing. So this is So we have the early Vedic period, which is the part of the Rig Veda, which is the early part. And then there is late Vedic period and Itihas, when the Ramayana and Mahabharata comes in. Then there is the Dharma Shastras, Dharma Shastras and Artha Shastras. These three are when there are three phases of the Vedic period. Then there is Muslim rule, which changes the whole game. All social structure gets changed, because the Kshatriyas lose and they are become either slaves or they're converted or they have to give up their occupation and they become poor, and there's a psychological dissonance of Indian people. Then there is a European colonial rule. Okay. And then there is post-independence rule. Then there is globalization, how globalization happens. So in each one of these phases, the whole idea of Indian society keeps getting changed. So when you understand it like this, and I give you quotations, and I give you facts, and I give you figures, and I tell you what, you know, all this bhakti movement and all the Shudra, we've had Shudra dynasty of kings who are Shudras. So you cannot say that the Shudra is always poor, and a lot of the modern professions, surgeries of Shudras were doing. So, you know, you have to understand, this will help you give a response. If you just read these 100 pages, your daughter will know how to respond. Every student should have this.
Yes.
So Rajivji, my question is, my daughter, let's say she reads it and understands and she can respond. But systematically, in the Loudoun County public school system, the teacher is just reading slides. She has no clue of what the history of.
So this is where what you need to do is you need to have a conflict. You need parents to sign. If even 5 or 10 parents sign, that we think that you are committing what we call Hindu phobia. You are committing, this is almost like racism, but this is hate speech against us. And you get a few, somebody from Chinmaya Mission, some people like that, some Swamijis, to endorse it and say this is wrong. You know, in this country you have rights, but we don't use them. Muslims use these rights. Anything like that happens, they'll call it Islamophobia. Jews will say it's anti-Semitism, they'll make a big deal out of it. We have to, nobody will give you on a silver platter that this is a great, you have to fight for it in this country.
So I read the essence of the book overall, but
do you think like who has to take the lead or everybody is responsible? What is a better way of organizing, you think, based on this book?
So based on this book, you know, first thing is you got to understand what the issues are.
Sure.
We have several projects. People who are interested in contributing and helping us with these projects, let me know. You can talk to one of the leaders here.
I'm saying an example simply, sir. Tamilians tried a research chair in Harvard kind of thing. So do we suggest that kind of chair
no,
in Harvard?
No. That is just the wrong thing. That is a counterproductive. That we feel you are just wasting money and you are giving empowerment to the wrong people. You are giving empowerment to the enemies. I don't believe that we should fund Harvard for anything.
So how do we hear? So either we have that inferiority complex, or if we learn all these and go, it sounds a little rude to them. So how do we strike the balance? How do we explain?
No, but why is it rude if you are explaining your own tradition? You're not saying, you're saying, look, I'm not interpreting Christianity. I'm not interpreting Judaism. Why are you interpreting my faith? I should interpret my faith. I am the practitioner of the faith. I know it. I have a guru. I have text. I've been raised in a certain family. Why is it that somebody of your culture who read some textbooks, which are colonial type of textbooks, is the person with the final authority to interpret me? Blacks would never accept that. Gays would never. They would all say the lived experience is more important than what is written in a book. The lived experience. The women, the feminists will say that being a woman, I know what certain experiences about being a woman, which others can't know. That is my lived experience. So this emphasis and priority being given to lived experience, we have to learn to use it. You have to go and say, this is my lived experience. When I worship, when I do bhakti, when I look at another person, when I look at who is Bhagwan, I know what it means from my point of view. You guys have no reason to, cannot overrule what my tradition is. And what is my tradition is what we have to teach our children, not what you are going to tell them.
But the basic idea we understand, sir, but the thing is, as you are saying, Indians are not enough courageous to follow the Jews or like something like that. So, what is the basic root cause that we need to know?
So, you know, this is the problem. This is the problem. The people who have authority, gurus have authority. People listen to the gurus. Gurus should do this job because people listen to them. Government has authority. Government doesn't want to do anything. They're scared, like people already said. Yeah. So we need to find those with some authority, with some resources, some power. They have to do it.
See, for example, I am trying to read Paramahamsa Yogananda, who combined the Krishna and Jesus and then saying is a combined form instead of woe. What do you think about that kind of thing?
So that, I was very concerned about that. And a lot of people said that was forced upon him and it was not written by him.
Just to get the excellency.
The original works of Paramahamsa Yogananda, that particular book, in his own handwriting, they do not let you see it. And because some people claim it was fraud.